praise team and Cindy, thank you guys so much for leading us in worship this morning. Amen. Do you guys feel a little motivated from that worship? Man, oh man, it's like, praise God, man, praise God. We are going to just begin with a word of prayer, just to settle our thoughts and our minds. And let's just ask God to speak to our hearts this morning. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, dear God, that we could come today, Lord, and worship you, Lord, with passion, Lord, with spiritual words and spiritual thoughts, and, Father, with an eternal direction. And I pray, dear God, that you would work in us now as we open up your word. Lord, we are kind of slowly winding down our series on marriage and parenting and growing together in you. And Lord, as we open up this message today and think about preparing our children, our grandchildren for a purposeful life, I pray, dear God, that you would just speak to our hearts. Father, just use me, Lord. Lord, I am far from perfect, but I pray, dear God, that you would help me to communicate by your Spirit, Lord, your words. And I pray, Lord, that your words would set on hearts that are soft, And Lord God, that are ready to change and do what you want. Lord, just work now, I pray. Take away all the distractions, Lord. We know there's stuff going on this afternoon. There's lots of things we're thinking about. But I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to us right now. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you guys would open up your Bibles, we're going to look at a number of passages. 2 Corinthians 5 is a good start. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But I want to begin this morning, and we'll go right to the first slide. I want to think about our issue today, which is preparing our children for a purposeful life. So I want to just advance that, if you would, for me, to the next slide. Thank you so much. And there's just a lot of scripture about this, and I want to move right to the next slide after that, which is kind of a thought, which is this. You know, without really knowing and embracing our purpose for life, we kind of tend to flounder around, don't we? You know what I mean by that? You know, we kind of sort of stuck in who we are, our own identity. We don't really go beyond that. There we go. And what I want to talk about this morning is when we do that, we kind of flounder around and we look for happiness in an elusive way. And we only look in the things that we know, the things that we do, or the things that we like. And the answer is that, you know, God really has an eternal purpose and a plan and so much more for us as his children. And today I just want to listen in and just think about, from God's word, how can we embrace the great future that God really has for us? So we're going to dig into that this morning. So I'm going to just move right past this. And the eternal truth I want you to get a hold of this morning, and you can go right to the next slide, please, if you would. The eternal truth is this, is that, remember we said, you know, parenting is intentional. And if our kids are going to have a purpose that's greater than themselves, they need to understand what that is. And I want to move right to sort of our refined eternal truth for today. And if you just advance us down to the next one, that would be great. Not sure why we're stuck here this morning, but here it is. Think about this with me for a minute. Our children will live longer as adults than children. You know, likely, right? They really will. Life is long. And here's our challenge as parents. We must wisely use the few years of childhood that we have to prepare them for the many years ahead as an adult. And I'll throw this out. It seems like an overwhelming job, doesn't it? And here's the challenge, and we're going to talk about this more. We got to concentrate on the truly important things, and we need to set their hearts and their minds on a course of wisdom, responsibility, service, and a real trust and obedience to God. Everybody look up for a sec. You know what? We're not going to be here their whole life, likely. So we got to make sure that they have the Holy Spirit indwelling their heart
and they have the Word of God just speaking to them and guiding them and directing them for all the decisions that we will probably have no impact upon in our lives. Think about that. You know, even by the way, even if we're alive, we're not always going to be with them, and they may not even want to know what our opinion is. But they can't escape our prayer, and they can't escape the work of the Holy Spirit. Just like our parents sought to do in us, right? And that's what we want to think about today. So the hope is that we can launch them out in this life with an eternal focus and a mission that will bring joy to God, themselves, and others. So we're going to kind of dive in and think about that this morning. We've been thinking a lot about this. Kind of talk about what parenting is, right? You know, training up this child so when they're old, they don't depart from what they know. And a big part of that is preparing them in preparation. And I want to move right on down to the next slide. And I want to dive right in this morning as we want to get right to God's word. But there's some principles that we have to understand and embrace if our kids are going to live in a purposeful way. And I'll say this, and I'll say this again in a few minutes. We have to live in a purposeful way to show them what's important. And that's so critical. So just kind of get a hold of these real quick with me this morning. So the first thing is this, right? We got to get a hold of this in our heart. Preparation time is short. It seems that, remember we said this a couple weeks ago? It feels like the days are long, but the years are going to go by quick. Seems like our days are endless, and we're just like, man, when was the day going to be done? But one day, it's going to be all gone, and we're going to go, where did the time go? Where did it go? And I want to just mention that preparation time is short, and their adult life will likely be long. And we need to redeem that time with focus. So kind of, you know, if you have that outline in your bulletin, circle that word. We got to focus in and teach our kids what matters the most and what will last the most. The second thing we got to get a hold of this is that parents and children are responsible to God. And we're both going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, even if we all are believers. Like, we're accountable. We're responsible. And the challenge of our day is, you know, in business, we want to outsource everything to keep our costs down. But the transmission of purpose in the lives of our kids is something that we can't outsource. It's got to come from us. And I'll throw this out. It can come from your church family alongside you. That's our job. Church family is we run alongside each other. But it's got to come from us as the parents of our children, right? And the third thing to kind of grasp is this, is that real fulfillment and joy are a result of accomplishing our God-given purpose. And we need to know what that is, right? And finally, get this in your minds, everybody. Children will model what they see more than what they hear. And by the way, that kind of stinks in a way, right? Because you'd like to be able to say, you know, I told them this. And we may have told them, but they watched us and they watched our priorities say a different thing than what we said. And they follow that. They learn that. They mimic that. So we got to kind of get a hold of that this morning. So let's just kind of dive in, look at God's word. We're going to go right to the next slide. But as we stop and think about that, preparation time is short, and we need to redeem the time with focus. So how do we do that? And I want to say this today. God's word gives us some guidance on that, and I want to dig into that. If I go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21, I'll ask this question. Cindy, is that my mic or is that the pulpit mic? I'm not sure which one it is. But it's a snap, crackle, and pop. It's my jacket. I knew I should have wore a suit, not my sport coat today, right? That's it. All right, I'm going to talk to the mic, and I won't.
All right, so here's the thing, right? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21 says this. And check this out. So we're
use that word other than in church. How about you? Right? Here's what the Apostle Paul is trying to communicate, right? He's saying that we need to walk, live our lives with our eyes open about the pitfalls and the problems and the issues and the things that are going on in the world and in our kids' lives so that we can redeem the time. In other words, like we can't be on autopilot, right? You know, we got to be in the game, we got to be focused, and we got to walk circumspectly. And notice he uses this phrase, he says, not as fools, but as wise. And I want to share a story. Anybody ever, you're walking, you're running along, anybody ever fall down in public? Right? Right? You got it, right? I mean, I'll share, you know, one of the things I love to do, I love to run, right? And I remember one time, now this is going years back, I'm running along, you know, when you run, you got your nice, you know, your nice Nike outfit on or your Adidas outfit, right? You know, you're trying to look good and you're trying to be, I have a lot of colorful shirts so I don't get run over by cars. But I remember running along on Kennedy Way, you know, way back, and I'm looking along and I'm having a good time. I don't know what I'm looking at, but all of a sudden I found myself rolling in the grass. You know, and I kind of sprained my ankle, you know, and I had to kind of, you know, limp my way home. You know, first you get up and say, I'm okay. And you try to jog it off, but like, you know, your foot's not really bending, so it doesn't really work so well. So you sort of drag your bones home. But that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's sort of not walking circumspectly, knowing what's going on around you. And I want to say this to us as parents, right? The idea of this time of focus is that we got to be aware that there's a lot going on in the world and life is not too good. Oh, thank you so much. I got a better mic, I hope. If this doesn't work, you know it's not the mic.
So surrender your mic.
I'll give this back to Chris. There we go, Chris. And we're going to give it a shot. Thank you so much, Chris. The sound people know I have a hard time standing still, so they said, we got to give this guy some kind of head mic to wear. All right, there we go. And it's on, and how's that sound, better? All right. I am not the Rice Krispie man anymore, right? All right. So kind of back to our story, right? Look what he says. So he says that we need to walk, we need to understand what's going on, and I want to challenge us as parents. There's a lot going on out there, and we need to be up to speed. You know, and that, by the way, that means what they watch on the internet, who they talk to, what their inputs are when it comes to, you know, things that sort of help them make decisions. But we kind of need to be aware of what that all is. And by the way, you guys are going like, man, how am I going to do that? You know, some of us maybe aren't real technical. That's one problem. But we got to be aware and we got to be engaging them so we know what's really going on. It's so important, right? And he says this phrase, he says, redeeming the time. And by the way, look at what's the rest of that phrase? Because the days are what? They're evil. You know, we see it in our world today. Like, think about it, in our world, there is so much going on in our world today. It's like unfathomable. Like we never would have met, you know, we went through a pandemic before. We use that word like we talk about, you know, bread and butter today. We never went through a pandemic. We didn't know what a pandemic was, but we went through that. Now there's like problems all across the world. You know, war is a reality in ways that, you know, a lot of us grew up after the wars like Vietnam were done. But there's still more stuff going on. So he says, you got to walk circumspectly, you got to understand, we got to redeem this time because the days are evil. The ideas, and here's one of the challenges, even as we see today, and I encourage you guys, let's pray for the people of Israel and also the people of Gaza. The vast majority are probably innocent of any of these things that have happened that have took us to this place. And they really just need Jesus. They need a life change.
they're not, you know, that's what they need, right? That's the only real fix, right? But we need to understand that the days are evil. That we're seeing stuff that we can't even imagine. You know, I won't go into the details. We heard on the news what happened when the terrorists attacked. We're going like, are these people human? But the days are evil. And he goes on, he just says, you know, as parents, he says, and he uses this illustration, and by the way, sometimes we get so hung up, and he says, don't be drunk with wine. That is an illustration that's not a good thing to be drunk with wine. Anything that takes away our understanding of life and our perception is a mistake. And God says this, he says, but be filled with the Spirit. And the point that he's trying to make to us is, as parents, right, we can't be controlled by anything else. We have to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And if I'm controlled by my anger, my emotions of any kind, if I'm controlled by my appetites, my desires, all those things, if they control me, they're going to take me the wrong way because the flesh is leading, not God. And he wants us to understand. He says, I want you to redeem the time because the days are evil. And I want you to walk with your head screwed on. I want you to understand what's going on. And I want you to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And by the way, good evidence of that is this. He says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. When I'm walking that way, I'm not a know-it-all. You know people that you talk to? We know all that stuff. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I'm on it. Yeah, we know. But when we walk in a humble heart in the Spirit of God, we submit to each other. We listen to each other. And by the way, that's a great thing when we want to communicate to our kids, even as they grow older. You know, guys, in the teen years, right? You know, when we're all teenagers, we think we know everything. And just so everybody, if you're a teenager, raise your hand. You're a teenager here today. You're a teen. Raise your hand. I see you guys. Raise your hand. You're a teen, right? Just so you guys all know, we all were teens once. We didn't come out like this, right? And we did the same thing, right? You know, I used to have all complete head of hair, and it was all blonde, you know. And some other people that have less than I do, you know, they had hair too, and they were smaller, you know, in every dimension, right? But understand, right? Like, we were teenagers too, and we pushed the limits, and we thought we knew it all, and we did all those things. And by the grace of God, we're still alive, and God's Spirit has engaged us because of the prayers of our parents and because of the love of God that we just sang about, and we are wiser now than we ever were. And that's what he wants us to be. That's the idea. This preparation time is short, so I just want to kind of summarize that and say this. You know what? We got to focus our energy on getting our kids to understand who they are in Christ and what God wants them to do. You know, it's not about all the other stuff, because there's not enough time to teach them every single thing, but teach them the most important things, and they are the spiritual foundations for living their life. You know, do your best to teach them other stuff too, but man, if they have that, they're going to be equipped for what the world's going to throw at them. You know, we read that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and that verse isn't on the screen, but the Apostle Paul, you know, he said that. He said that the Word of God equips us, right, for every good work. And we have that wisdom, we're going to be ready to engage those things that God has for us. So I'm going to slide down to the next slide real quick. So here's the deal. Parents and children are responsible to God, and both will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I don't say this to scare you, but it scares me. Think about this, and here's the deal. I'm preaching about parenting, and our kids are now grown up. So my opportunity to sort of fix what I messed up is less. And I have some regrets, I'll be honest. Things I would have did different. I wish I would have did some things different. Me and Pastor Anstey were talking about this. You know, we are not the experts in everything. God has given us the gift to teach the Word of God, to understand it, and give some education to help us do that. But we don't know it all. We're still learning, too. And that's how we all need to approach this stuff in the Scriptures, that, man, there's still stuff I can learn. And I hope that I can still influence my kids and hopefully influence their kids in directions that God would have them go, right? And he says this, that you know, we're responsible. So like when we're responsible, you know, we can't just blame someone else when it doesn't work out because we're responsible. And I'll throw this out. You know, God's called us to do what we can do, and we have to know the results are up to him. And I bet if we went around the room, if anybody who has a child who's over age of 18, we'd probably say, yeah, I wish I would have did this different. I wish that I would do that different. Or we would say this. We'd say, I wish my kids were more spiritually minded than they are. Right? So we're responsible, and I don't want to take that away. God said you're responsible. And by the way, look what he says in this passage. He says, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. And Paul's talking about as he worked in the mission field with people, he was a fellow worker with God to redeem mankind. And he says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. And look what he says here about the foundation. He says, for there is no other foundation than anyone can lay than that which is laid in Jesus Christ. By the way, this is not like a parenting passage specifically. But what he's trying to say here is, you know what? We're responsible and we stand responsible before God, and we will at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. It won't cost us our salvation. We'll still be in heaven. But there's going to be gifts and rewards that God's going to give out, and we're responsible to live out the Christian life the way God called us to do it, in light of his word, by the power of his Holy Spirit. And he says to us, there's one foundation. Get this in mind. Look at verse 11. There is no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So remember I said we got to kind of cull down our focus. We got to focus on laying a Christ-like foundation in the lives of our kids. And that means we got to teach them at home, and we got to give them every opportunity possible to embrace Christ and the truth of God's word. Like, that's our responsibility. By the way, it's going to cost you time. You're going to spend more time in your car. You're going to spend more money out of your pocket. But at the end of the day, when you get old and you look back and your kids are following Christ, you're going to be so happy. Amen. On the flip side, if you spend all the time and all the money on everything else and your kids are like a mess and their lives are a mess and their families are a mess, man, it's going to be so many regrets that none of us want to have. You understand? And that's what he says. So we got to understand that's the key principle here as we contemplate these issues. We'll go to the next one real quick. Here's the deal, right? Real fulfillment and joy are a result of accomplishing our God-given purpose. And he says this, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. And get this verse in your mind. It says, all things were created through him. And the next part is the important one. And for him. So in other words, our purpose as God's creation is for God. It's for his glory. It's for his praise. It's for his purpose. It's for his goals in the world. You know, I throw that too, thinking about all the things that are going on in our world today. Do you see like how shaky human ruled society really is? And by the way, if we're just chasing after riches, you know, I'll say one thing, you know what I love to do? I love to travel. And I love to see Israel. By the way, I'm a little jealous of Cindy and Ansel. You guys got to see Israel before the craziness, right? You know, this past year. But think about this, right? You know, I'm not really jealous, but think, you know what I'm trying to say, right? I love to travel, you know, and the pandemic kind of clipped our wings, literally. Now some of the fears of what's going on in these other places of the world will clip our wings from seeing some of those things. I love to do that, but do you understand just how shaky the world is without God? It's unbelievable. It's crazy how shaky it is, right? And he says this. He says that we got to make sure that our purpose and the things that are really going to matter and fulfill us are about God's business. And he just says that. And the last part of that thing, he says, he's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's what it's all about. God's what it's all about, right? So we'll go to the next one. Letter D. Children will model what they see more than listen to what they hear. I wish it wasn't true, but it is, right? And you know it too. You know, think about all the things that you modeled growing up. And maybe you modeled a professional athlete or an actor or a singer, and you try to do everything just like them, right? That's who you are to your kids. You're not as cool as those people. They don't tell you that they model you. But when the big things in life come along, guess what they come back to? What they saw you and I do. Not just what we say. And I'm just going to hit this verse real fast. 1 Timothy 4, the Apostle Paul, he really charged Timothy, and he said to him, he says, I want you to be an example to believers in word and conduct, in love and spirit, and in faith and in purity. And he says, I want you to give attention to reading the word of God, to exhortation, to encouragement, and to doctrine. And he says, I don't want you to neglect the spiritual gifts in you either. And I want you to stop and think about that for a second. So our kids are watching us as Christians. And if we're just Sunday morning Christians, they're kind of going, huh, I guess God's not that big a deal. But if they see us in the Word, if they see us in prayer, if they see us about witnessing and sharing Christ with people around us, if they see us helping other people, if they see us making the things of God a priority in their lives, they go, huh, this God thing is important, I guess. You know, it lays a foundation. Now, throw this out. I'm not talking about legalism or you got to be here, you got to be here. You know, we're checking all boxes and keeping score. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about they see your heart for God. And they see my heart for God and they go, wow, my dad or my mom, they really care about the things of God. And it's more important than all those other things that are so short and so short term in their ability to last. So he says that to him. And by the way, look at verse 15. And again, this is the Timothy, not a parenting passage, but the principle just jumps out. He says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress might be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and your doctrine. Everybody look up parents. If you're a parent, he says, take heed to yourself before you take heed to your kids. You know, I just came back. We went to Memphis, Jade and I. You know, you flew on a plane. And what do you always hear before the plane takes off? They say, if there's a problem in the cabin, the oxygen mask will drop down from above you. You know, please extend the straps and put it over your face. And the last thing they say is what? Make sure you put yours on before you try to help someone else. Doesn't he say that? Right? And I want to encourage us, right? Look what he says. He says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. You know, like, let's make that something that's who we are. And he says, for in doing this, look what it says. Look at the promise. You will both save yourself and those who hear you. Wow. That's pretty important, isn't it, then? You know? So he says, meditate on these things. So I want to challenge us as parents. We want to pass on, you know, what is important in life to our kids. Take heed to yourself and let's evaluate what's important in life to you and to me. And I want to say, everybody look up. Trust me or Pastor Ansel, we're not going like this, because when I'm going like this, the other four fingers are going like this, right? Can we get distracted? You bet. You know, I'll throw this out. When our kids get, all of a sudden they get successful in sports, what becomes the most important thing? They get successful in school or the arts or all those other things. We're like, man, you know, we got to go there. I know it's church, but, you know, or, you know, I know this is going on. But like we are so easily distracted, and Satan is so slick, he sucks us away. And I have to confess, I've been sucked away more than one time. Right? So we got to understand. That's what he's talking about. So the kids are going to model those things. So real quick, we're going to go down. Take us to the next slide, if you will. We got a groove here. One more. The pathway of purposeful living. I'm just going to hit them quick this afternoon. Here they are, right? Teach them God's purposes. Model a purposeful life for them. Release them bit by bit, gradually, with intention to live on missions, and then evaluate them. Launch them and support them so they can soar. Talked about that, right? So we hit them real fast. And I mean real fast, right? God's purposes. And you can write this down. I'm going to hit the verse. First one is Psalm 67. By the way, what a great passage of scripture. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Get this in our mind. Write this down. You and I are here for the glory of God. And the next passage, Psalm 78, says the same thing. He says, we will not hide these things, these statements from our children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Go right down to the next slide, please. Thank you. Right? Says the same thing. We are here for the glory of God. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. We'll go right down to that. Take me there if you would, please. Look what it says. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are light and we are salt to glorify the Creator, not glorify ourselves. Right? The glory of God is just so huge. The next passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look what he says. He says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, understand what he's trying to do here. He's trying to pick the smallest thing that you do. Whatever you do, however small it is, insignificant it is, temporary it is, he says, do all to the glory of God. You know, think about that for a second. But wouldn't that just change your life? You know, you got to clean the bathroom. Oh, you know, I got to do it to the glory of God. You know, I'm going to pick on students for a second. You know what? Your grades and your performance in school and how teachers see you is for the glory of God. Right? You know, your athletic performance is for the glory of God. Everything you do is for the glory of God. Everything can bring God glory no matter what it is. Whether you shoot a ball good, or you sing, or you preach, or you teach, or you are just a diligent student and a diligent employee at your part-time job, it all brings glory to God. And that's what he's trying to get across to us. It's all about God's glory, right? And we have to kind of understand that's where God wants us to be thinking about. And that, by the way, that transcends everything that we do. So we get kids to understand we're created for God's glory and that's his purpose, man, it changes all of life, right? And, you know, he says it again here, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. He not only created us, but he redeemed us and he pre-planned our lives that we would be to the praise of his glory. And that's kind of his thought there. And we'll skip right on down to the next one, if you would there, gentlemen. Not only are we here for the glory of God, but we're here for to be God's agent in the redemption of this world. God wants, it says this in the book of Timothy, his desire is that all men would be saved. You know, God loves us so very much, and he wants us to be part of that redemption. He says, and he wants us to be a witness. He's not saying, I want you to go out and tell people what you haven't experienced. He's saying, I want you to go out and tell people what you have experienced, what God has done for you. And who you were, how much of a dog you were, and God saved you anyway. Like there's no end to God's grace. God will save anyone. You know, and he proved that. Jesus, I remember he was crucified next to two on the cross, and the thief came to Christ at the very last second. You know, he proves that over and over. So he wants us to be an agent of his redemption. Go down to the next slide, please, if you would. And by the way, this is the song we just sang. The reckless love of God, you know, and that word is challenging for a lot of people, right, when you hear that understanding, right? But look what he's saying here. He says, look at the first part. For the love of Christ compels us. When I understand God's love just a little bit, it compels me, right, not to live for me, but to live for other people. You know, and that's what God wants us to do. We got to get that purpose across to our kids. It's not about living for yourself and getting all you can. It's about being an impactful person on the world for the glory of God with eternal fruit. That's what God's looking for, right? And look what he says. He says that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You know, throw this out. Corey Asbury is the author of that song. And by the way, that word reckless is troubling to some Christians. Like, what do you mean by that reckless love of God? Like, we think of reckless as, you know, driving intoxicated, doing bad stuff, right? Not doing things right, not thinking, not caring. But the idea, what he's trying to get across to us is this. The idea of that word reckless in God's love means this. He's saying, you know what? God loved you so selflessly that he sent Jesus to die. And remember, it says this in Romans chapter 5. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us when we didn't care a bit about that. When we weren't worried about anything. When we just wanted to do what we wanted to do, Jesus died for us. And God's love is reckless in the sense that it defies human understanding. Like, we would never logically love someone who hates us in our flesh. But a reckless love of God loves us so very much, no matter how bad we are, how awful we are. You know, and as a result of that, when I really process the love of God, you know, and Paul talks about that in another book in Philippians, like, if I could just understand the depths and the breadth and the height of God's love, when I begin to grasp just a little bit of that, it compels me to not live for myself anymore. And by the way, that's what I want to get our children to understand, right? That's what our kids need to understand. That's what I need to understand. Because I'm as selfish as the next guy. But man, God's love just changes those things, right? And then, you know, finally, this idea about, you know, modeling a purpose for them. Go to Deuteronomy 6. Check this out. I don't know if you guys ever read this. Can we read Deuteronomy 6? You know, it says, the Lord your God is one God. And it says, you know, we're supposed to, as parents, do what? We're supposed to, when they rise up, when they walk along the way, when they lay down, we're supposed to teach them the word of God. And later on in that passage, we kind of stop before we get to this a lot of times. But it says this. It says, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And I want to stop and say this. Like, when your kids ask you, man, why do we got to go help that person? Why do you talk to those people about Jesus? Why do we got to be in church so much? My friends ain't here. We can tell them, because you know why? Because I was a slave to sin, and God came in his love, and he brought me out, and he saved my soul with his mighty hand. That's the kind of model that we need to do for our kids, right? And we need to talk about it. It shouldn't be weird to talk about Jesus at home. It should be what we do all the time. You know, and again, in our culture, we're so like, oh, I say God, but I won't say Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, we have these attitudes and these thoughts. No. Let's talk about what God has done for us. And let's model that to our kids, right? And it'll be so much better for them. So we're going to stop today. That's the pathway of our purpose. But I want to just leave you with a couple last questions. And here they are. Let's make purposeful living personal. And here's the question, right? This is for us. We're the parents, right? So we're the teachers, and if our students are going to learn that we have to kind of have it together a little bit. It says, does the way I spend my time clearly display God's purposes for my life? Think about that for a second. The way you spend your time, does that demonstrate God's purposes for you? And I mean, honestly, the answer to all these questions is probably not enough, right? Here's the next one. Does the way I spend my money clearly display God's purposes for my life? Those are the big things, the things we value the most, right? Time and money, what do they say? Do the experiences I share with my children clearly display God's purposes for us? Do the things I take my kids to, get them involved in, push them to get part of, do those things display God's purpose? Good question, right? And then the next question is this: what do I need to change to teach my children a purposeful life? I just want to challenge us, right? We all look back and go, man, I wish I would have did it different in this area. So here's the cool thing. You still got breath in your lungs, right? I know I went slightly over today. You got breath in your lungs, right? So God has given us time and purpose to change. And I want to challenge us to do that this morning. So we're going to close with a word of prayer. I know our marriage conference people got to run. I know we're getting ready to. By the way, we are purposeful right now because we know the Christmas season is a time that God will drop people into our church that never come in any other time. So we're going to try and do our very best to present to them the gospel in our Christmas musical and in the things that we do. So we're going to get ready to go do those things, and we're going to show in our time that is valuable. Let's just pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. Lord, it's always so compelling and challenging, and I just pray, dear God, that you would help us to look at ourselves, to make purposeful living personal. And dear God, help us as parents, Lord. It is a hard job, an endless job. Help us, dear Lord, to be able to model and communicate and to live in such a way that our kids will catch the immensity of who you are in our lives. And Lord God, that they will seek to follow you as well. Father, thank you for all the things that you're going to do. And Lord, I just pray that you would work in our hearts now. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.